Okay, good evening. So actually last week somehow ended up not getting recorded, so I hope to record a summary or something like that. But here we are in Simin Shin Tes. So Simin Shin Tes is actually two things tonight that really extend beyond the Bechoros issue. So the tour here on the first page begins as follows. It says, Bizman hazeh, so nowadays, meaning the tour is writing during his time, ein lo heter ela al yedei mum. Right, there's no way to permit the bechor to be eaten unless it gets a mum. The filum yirtu abaylim o akoyin l'chonso l'kipa ad shiyamus me'atzmo einon rishayin el etzarech hakoyin l'gadlo ad shiyipol bo mum. And even if you just want to put in the kippah until it dies on its own, so what is the kippah? The kippah is like the stall. So the Gemara has this with regards to certain animals that can't be offered as a korban and also can't be eaten in chulin for one reason or another, like a chatas. Specifically a chatas that they lost the chatas and then they brought another one in its place and then they found it again. So that animal meets the unfortunate fate of going to the kippah. The kippah is actually one of the very few things that I have a very hard time understanding and stomaching. But essentially the animal is put into a small area and left to starve to death. I mean, that's the din of a kippah. It doesn't seem to come up very often, but that is a halacha for certain animals that have certain entered into some difficult situation.
Ho! You don't have to feed it.
You don't feed it. Yes, it needs to die on its own, but you can't. Yes, it is Sar Bali Chaim. Yes, yes, it is very much Sar Bali Chaim. That is the halacha in a few cases. So the tour here says that in the case of a bechor, I'm usually pretty good at figuring out the morality of the Torah and things like that. Here, this is it comes up in Daf Yomi, especially as you're learning through Kachim. This comes up as an issue, and I have never been able to wrap my head around it. But that's the halacha specifically with kachim. So the Gemara here says, well, what about here? What about in this case? So I have the bechor, and the bechor is sitting around. I can't offer it as a korban, so it's just like waiting for it to get a mum. So am I allowed? Can I just put it in a kippah and not have to bother with any of these things? So the Gemara says, you can't do that. Rather, you have to continue to raise it until it actually gets a mum, and then it could be offered as a korban. So the if you look at the bottom, the hagos in the Beis Yosef, where does he get this from? So
it's not a korban anymore because it's bezman hazeh, which means there's no Beis Hamikdash.
So there's no possibility of bringing a korban. So yeah. If it gets a mum, the halacha with the bechor is that if it gets a mum, so then it could be eaten. It doesn't have to be brought as a korban. That's different than other sacrifices. I mean, other things that one is makdish, and then it gets a mum, so then it's unusable, right? So that's why other things perhaps would go to the kippah. I mean, that's the distinction actually that's being made here. So the other korbanos that get a mum after was already makdish fully, so those might go to the kippah under certain circumstances. But a bechor won't. So what's the difference? Well, a bechor can be eaten. A bechor is considered to be already able to be eaten by a person, as opposed to other kachim which are not able to be eaten without being offered as a korban. And in the absence of being able to be brought as a korban, so then you're stuck with this kippah situation. So the Beis Yosef here, right, the wide line right under there says, "Kein diktek." It's not an explicit gemara, this idea. It says, "Kein diktek harash besof becharos, uperek kamada vodazara, v'chasef shekein horor Rabbeinu Meir." And he writes there that was the psak of the Maharam, of the Maram Rotenberg, right? So that is a din. The Rush, by the way, at the end of Bechoros, so there the Rush sort of gives you a Kitzer Hilchos Bechoros. So this is one of the we referred to it already before, and this is another din there that he quotes. Now, if you look at the footnote here, rather than go through the text itself, the footnote sort of fills us in here. He says, the footnote Beis, he says, Kedivri HaRush Kasvu Gam HaTosfos. He says, by the way, what the Rush writes, Tosfos writes as well, in Bechoros Daftun Gimel. He says, V'tzarchiyun SheHaRush Lo Tzayin Tosfos Zeh. He says, and by the way, it's a little questionable why the Rush didn't quote that Tosfos. Ela Kasav, but he does write, in Avodah Zarah, where the Rush, where these opinions are recorded, he says, "V'chein re'isi shahora Rabbeinu Meir l'kohen echad." He says, "I saw that this was the psak that the Maharam gave to a certain kohen." So, meaning this was, we often think of Bechoros as like esoteric, never happens, but you see in the Rishonim this is happening. Like people had this and had to deal with it. So the Maharam, so apparently a kohen came to the rabbi and said, "You know, I have this real pain in the neck, me keeping this animal around and just grazing everything until it gets a mum. It's not getting a mum. It's not whatever. And you know, can I just like get rid of it now?" So the Maharam said, "No." Right? That was the answer that he gave. But he points out quotes from the Bach. So the truth is, we can look at the Bach inside. The Bach is on this page, right? So the Bach is on the other side, on the Tosfos side of the Torah. So if you look back above, he says, "Kein dikte karash besof b'choros. Uver kamada vodazara, uver kamada vodazara." That's the opinion of the Rush. V'chasev shekachora ramaram. He says, but if you look at Tosfos in the beginning of Maseches Avodah Zarah, B'dibar Maskel Noel Deles Mavuar Shecholkim, it appears from that Tosfos that he disagrees. And there, the Tosfos actually says that you could put it into the kippah. Not that you have to put it in the kippah, but that you could put it into the kippah. Now, back to the footnotes over here, right? He says the Bach quotes that Tosos Shekasu Lo Karash Velohevi Esa Tosos Rashkasu Karash VeAyin Od Begilion Chaspa Vodazarasham. Okay, so whether that Tosos is actually saying that or not, I found to be a little questionable. Meaning, what exactly is the issue here going on? So what is the reason not to put in the kippah? So Joel would say, Sar Vali Chaim, what in the world are you doing over there? Right, so Tosfos himself is sort of working with this a little bit. He says, "Well, why by other animals do you do it?" So Tosfos says, "Well, when it comes to the other animals, there's really two possible reasons why one would go ahead and say one could put in the kippah. So number one is that it's impossible. Is that by other kachim, there's never a good ending. So because there's never a good ending, so you may as well put it out of its misery now. The animal wouldn't elect for that, right? The animal would much rather live out its life rather than be put into kippah now. But there is a fear. There is a nervousness here that this animal is going to get into the general population, and then we're going to have this kachim animal walking around with the general population, and that is a problem. As opposed to when it comes to a bechor animal, so the bechor hopefully has a way out, right? The bechor will hopefully. By the way, a regular kachim animal. Sorry, it could be if once it gets a mum, you could be poda it, but that money, the money that you're poda it for, has to be destroyed. So there's no net gain in that case. So because there's no net gain, so then we'll tell you go ahead and put in the kippah. As opposed to the bechor here, the bechor there is a very good possible net gain. So in the case of the net gain, because there will be a net gain, so therefore it's worth keeping it around. So then the question then is between the, it seems like it's a machlokas between Tosfos and the Rush. He says, well, okay, so there is a possible gain. Does that mean that I have to keep it alive, or does that mean that I could keep it alive? Right. So if you say that ends up being this machlokas between the two Tosfos. The Rush and Tosfos in Bechoros versus the Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, where we assume by the in Bechoros that you're not allowed to put in the kippah, while in Avodah Zarah you could. There's another distinction that is drawn as well, and that is between If you're the owner of the Bechor, so what exactly is the scenario, right? The scenario is that you're the Yisrael. The Yisrael allowed this Bechor to be alive. And now we're going to say, throw in the kippah, who's going to end up losing? Who loses out in that case, right? So the Kohen loses out. So it's not fair to the Kohen that he has to lose out because the Yisrael doesn't want to, you know, be in charge of this animal. As opposed to in the case of the Kachim animal, what were you doing? Being Mekadesh an animal was not a set. That was a pretty dumb thing to do. So therefore, you're the one who caused the problem. So therefore, you're the one who loses out on the animal, and it will then be put into the kippah. So anyway, so that is the starting point. So if we this machlok this but the assumption. So how do we paskin? Let's do that. So how do we paskin? So if you go to the Shulchan Aruch, I think the page two. So in Shulchan Aruch, there he says, b'chor bizman hazeh, ein bo heter, right? There's no way to be matir it. Ella al yedei mum, right? The only way for it to work is for it to get a mum. V'afilim yitzu abayle mo ha-kohen l'konsul l'kipa, ad shiyamus me'atzmo, ein amrshayim. He says, and even if the owner or the kohen says, just put in the kippah until it dies, not allowed to. Rather, tzarech ha-kohen l'gadlo ad shiyipol bo mum. So clearly, the Shulchan Aruch, paskins like the Rush, and paskins like Tosos and Bechoros, that assume that it's not that you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to keep the animal around. You're not allowed to put in the kippah. Rather, you must keep it around. So the So great. So that is the. So now, if we look below here. So there is in the Pisrei Tshuva Simen Shin Tes. So sorry for this Simen Shin Tes Aleph. So the base. So on the bottom of the page here, the Pisrei Tshuva quotes the Nod Yehuda. He says, "I am the Tshuva's Nod Yehuda, Chelik Yerdeya Simen Pei Aleph Shekasav." He says, "What is the reason there? That Tamhu Mishum Hefsid Kohen. That the reason why you're not allowed to put in the kippah is because of the loss that will come to a Kohen." So therefore, in the case of a suffik b'chor, shafilu b'mumo ein sarach litno l'kohen, that even if it gets a mum, you wouldn't have to give it to the kohen, right? Because hamotzi mechaver olav haraya. Right, sorry, there it says, ki hamotzi mechaver olav haraya. Rishai l'kansu l'kipa. In that case, then you would be allowed to put in the kippah. So if you have a Yisrael, this is only a suffik b'chor. So what would be the example of a suffik b'chor? So we had the example last week, right? The animal that was, or 2 weeks ago, or in the animal that nursed, the animal that was nursing, but the Rama said, well, yeah, even though the animal's nursing, we can't be 100% sure that it had a baby before. So therefore, we're going to, so the baby that is born, we're still going to treat as a suffik b'chor. So it's a suffik b'chor, but you don't necessarily have to give it to the kohen. You can keep it yourself until you get the mum, meaning you have to treat it as a suffik kachim, which you have to be strict on, but you don't have. But the kohen doesn't have access to it because he has to bring a proof, and he doesn't have the proof available. So the Nod Yehuda says here, what exactly is the reason that you're not allowed to put in a kippah? So says the Nod Yehuda, because while the Yisrael has it, it needs to go to the kohen. And what right does the Yisrael have to kill it before it can be given to the Kohen? It really should belong to the Kohen. That's the Nobu's hypothesis. So therefore, he turns around and says, aha! So therefore, if the animal is not going to be given to the Kohen, because it's only a suffik b'chor, so comes the Nobu and says, so therefore, the guy has the right to put it in the kippah. He says, ach! He says, however, hagon maharam fishless, nechlak alav. Argues on him, v'chazerbo hamachaber v'hodel l'dvarav. And in fact, the machaber, who's the machaber? The Nod of Yehuda. The Nod of Yehuda goes back and agrees with Rav, Fishlis is his last name. Mayor, I think Mayor is his name. Mayor Fishlis, v'hodel l'dvarav, lesor haknasel kippa, says you're not allowed to do it, even in the case of a suffik b'chor. So this actually plays itself out on the pages of the Nod of Yehuda itself. Well, as you can imagine, so I actually put these pages on. What did I put back? So this is already the very end of the section on of the Yoredeya section. Which, not all the way at the very end. Yeah, there it is. So it's Simon Pei Aleph.
Yeah, you took over the card at.
Oh. That's quiet you guys down.
Hi.
Hey, hi, Donnie. I didn't know you were getting a ride.
Bonnie's driving.
Oh, giving the ride. Okay. All right. So we are just opened up the No Debi Yehuda here, where actually the No Debi Yehuda gets questioned by his Talmud, Rav Meir Fishelis, and actually then backs down from his psak because of it. So the what is the case? So the case is that the Shulchan Aruch says that if a Yisrael has a bechor, he's not allowed to just cause it to die. He actually has to keep it until it gets a mum. So the Nidbi Yehuda's hypothesis is, says the reason is because in order to give it to the Kohen, because it's not his to kill. It has to be given to the Kohen. So Nidbi Yehuda suggests that in a scenario where he doesn't have to give it to the Kohen, for example, it's a Suffolk Bechor, it's not a Vaday Bechor, so therefore he could just knock it off. He would be permitted to be able to kill it. So if we see the No Debi Yehuda here on the page Mem Beis, so on the right side of the page, so I guess the second paragraph down, he says Ba'ofen Shahai Bechor Nishar Sveika, where the Bechor is a Safek, the Dina, V'tzarech Linhog Bo Kedushas Bechor Misafek. Therefore, we have to treat this animal as having Kedushas Bechor, but only Misafek, only out of doubt. It's not a full fledged Bechor. Amnam, but he says Hol V'Kasav Mealso Malaso Sheisha Moshel Rasha. He says, but, and this is a key point here, he says, but we have a fear. We don't just have a fear that the owner is going to be negligent with it and the animal is going to get away. He says, but no, there's a Moshel Rasha. Who's the Moshel Rasha? A evil ruler. So there's some kind of government problem that they have with these animals. So it's not just, oh, well, let the animal stick around and everything will be okay. Just put some effort into keeping track of it. So no, the Nodi Yehuda is afraid, or whoever's asking this question, is afraid that if this animal sticks around having Kedushas Bechor, at some point, very soon, the king, the non-Jewish king, is going to invade, he's going to confiscate it, and now you're going to have a bigger problem, because then you're really going to have this Bechor now getting out into the wild, and that would be a problem. So therefore, maybe there's actually a greater reason to put in the kippah. So it wasn't just, as is indicated by the Piskei Tshuva, that the owner of the animal didn't want to bother with it, but it seems like there's more to it than that, that they don't even want to, that there's a fear that it's going to be taken away. But continues the note, it says, Lachin amina milso chadasi. He says, I'm going to say a big chiddush. The mi'olam kashali kol ha-toreach sheyesh lanu bizman hazeh. He says, really, it's very difficult on me, all the difficulties we have nowadays, b'b'chor. Lama va'af she'asur l'shachto mishim shchutei chutz. Right? That even though it's asur to shecht because of shchutei chutz, v'chein asur lahatil lo ligrom lo mum. You're also not allowed to cause it to get a mum. Mikol makom yachni senu l'kipa v'yam. Let's put it into the kippah and allow it to die there. And and that's where he continues on and says, and we see that based on this Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, because the Tosfos in Avodah Zarah said that even the Kohen potentially has the option of sending it to the kippah, and the reason why the owner can't put it into the kippah is because it doesn't belong to him. He has to give it to the Kohen. So what right does he have to kill this animal before it's given to the Kohen? But that's what Nebuchadnezzar says, but if he's not going to be giving it to the Kohen, so therefore maybe he could keep it himself, and it's within his rights to go ahead and kill it. So that last underlined part I have there, he says, Amnam, he says, Lefishu davar chiddush, he says, then he backs off a little bit, he says, this is a big chiddush, umilsa de tmi bay, and it's a pretty wild thing, meaning it seems to be going against explicit halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, you're not allowed to put this animal in the kippah, and the Yehuda says, you are allowed to put the animal in the kippah. He says, still, adayin eni machlid hadavar ad she dabar mize im ktsas gedole ki lasenu im yaskimu imi. He says, I don't want this to become a well-known psak until I have a chance to discuss this with the other important people of our kehila and see if they agree with me. He says, but I don't want to be late on getting my tshuva back to you, and I don't want you to think that I've been ignoring you, so therefore I'm sending you back what I have so far, but realize that I'm not like 100% sure. I still want to discuss it with a couple of other people. So that is that's psak number one. So he gets responded to on the bottom here. The response comes from Rav Meir Fishlish. Rav Meir Fishlish besides having one of the great all-time achronim last names, right, was one of the main talmidim of the Nodav Yehuda, right? The Tshuva Me'ava is from Rav Fishlis. So therefore, he responds by saying, he says, Rebbe, with all due respect, and you could see how he's like writing with a lot of respect, but he says, you know, you're assuming that the whole basis for this halacha of not permitting the animal to be put into the kippah is all based on a mamonos issue. It's all based on, oh, what right do you have to put in the kippah when it really belongs to another kohen? But, he says, maybe the whole issue is you're not allowed to put in the kippah because of Tsar Bali Chaim, right? That's the serial eight Tsar Bali Chaim Doraisa, right? That maybe we assume that Tsar Bali Chaim is Doraisa, and therefore that's a reason. So in a case where there's a real problem and nobody's ever going to benefit from this animal and to have it lay around with nobody getting benefit, so there's a real toelus in putting it in the kippah. But where there's a possibility that someone will be able to benefit from it, meaning potentially even you, if it gets its mum on time before you give it to the Kohen, So therefore, what? Why should you be putting in the kippah? Why should you be causing the animal such tsar? So that is the response that Rav Fishlis gives in the Nodav Yehuda. Actually, responds to him here, saying that, well, maybe it's unclear whether that's really the halacha when it comes to tsar balachai. Maybe any time there's a toeles, it's worthwhile. To which Rav Fishlis responds by saying, "Yeah, well, how could you be so sure? Meaning, maybe there's a hierarchy, but there is a good reason to keep it alive, and don't just kill it because there's a small concern. Only maybe when there's a big concern. At which point, the Nodav Yehuda at the end actually agrees." Which is fascinating. I don't know of any other cases where the tshuva, like where the Nodav Yehuda backs down. I'm not a big expert in going through this entire Shailos HaTshuva Sefer, but the Nodav Yehuda actually like hears from his Talmud and backs down. So it takes a give and take of three tshuvos, three letters from the Nodav Yehuda and two by Rav Fishlis, but ultimately the Nodav Yehuda does back down and says right at the bottom line here on page 84, "Ba'open shechozer ani misferati umode l'dvari ma'alaso sha'asu l'achnisu l'kipa." He says, and I back down from my svara, and I agree with what you have to say, that it is hereby prohibited to put in the kippah, and I don't know, I guess I hope that he got this letter off to his Talmud in the other city in time before his farmer put the animal in the kippah and the animal had to suffer. Because that is pretty brutal.
I have a question
for the animal. Yeah.
Does anyone say anywhere that the reason you have to wait is because Mashiach could come and the temple could be rebuilt? You know, aren't we supposed to consider that as a possibility?
It's actually pretty interesting. The scholarly.
Who's that?
I don't know.
All right. Do we consider that?
So,
2,000
years later.
How do I?
Can you mute them? If you're host, you can mute them.
I don't have that. Oh wait, I can do it this way.
Let's see.
Oh, there we go. Okay, he's off. Fine. So do we have to consider Mashiach's going to come? We do have that concept when it comes to Chadash and Yashan, right? That's the Heri Yabana Beis HaMikdash, and maybe the Beis HaMikdash will all of a sudden be rebuilt on the second day of Pesach, and therefore the Korban, we're going to have to wait for the Korban to be born, and therefore they prohibited having Chadash the entire day. I think that
more likely because it doesn't have to be on a special day. It could be any time until the animal dies.
One second. You're saying this is therefore there's more of a reason for us to have a problem here.
The should be built sometime during the general lifetime and not just the day before Pesach.
Right. So I think that then I'm not sure is. I mean, there, as Schechter would often point out, there's a difference sometimes between the motivation for the takana and the mechanism for the takana, right? The motivation, right? You might want to achieve something, but the mechanism of establishing the takana might be another way. So it could be that Chadash Yashan thing is a good example of that. I mean, we have other examples of There is a Gemara in Maseches Krisis. I think we learned this when we touched on it at least when we learned Hilchos Geiris, that when there is a chiyuv of bringing of a ger bringing a korban, and originally soon after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, they actually used to put money aside in order so that the ger would have the money set aside to bring a korban because the Beis Hamikdash should be rebuilt any day. And the Gemara says they stopped doing that because having the money around is a problematic situation. So you could say it's the same thing here, meaning, here there is an end date, meaning that this animal is not going to live forever, as opposed to those coins, which potentially could last forever. But still, where there is a risk, one can make a case that we're not going to say, we got to keep it around, plus the Beis Hamikdash might be rebuilt. What about Chadash and Yashan? So it could be Chadash and Yashan, there's no loss, there's no risk. Right, it's not really a kachim issue. It's that so we're going to hold off on a day, and it could be that Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai was attempting to achieve a specific purpose, meaning attempting to when that is the second day of Pesach, when everyone would be when everyone in theory would have been going to the Beis Hamikdash. Right, the Pesach was by far the highest attended of the Yom Tovim in Yerushalayim, and Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai is living immediately in the aftermath of that. And everybody is lamenting, oy vey, woe unto us that we're not going to Yerushalayim anymore. So he made this takana to remind people that, Beis Hamikdash could fall at any moment. At any moment it could come down. So therefore we're going to make that takana. With the mechanism being that, Meher Yabana Beis Hamikdash, and therefore we have to be really careful. But whether that is but that might not be the motivation for the takana. The motivation for the takana might be to lift everyone up and try to remind them that there is such a thing as Beis Hamikdash coming. I don't know. It's just a theory on that. I think we did on Rosh Hashanah a few years ago, I gave a shiur on how concerned do you have to be that you're going to die in the upcoming year. So the example is that there is a statement in Shulchan Aruch that if you accept upon yourself a fast, so I'm hereby going to fast on a Thursday, something like that. So Shulchan Aruch paskins that you're allowed to hold off. If you take that Shavua in August, and then you say, whoa, wait a second, what time is nightfall? 8 o'clock? Are you nuts? You know what? How about if I do this fast when I get to December, right? So the Gemara, so Shulchan Aruch says that's mutter. So the question is, well, how are you so sure you're going to make it that long in order to fulfill the Shavua? So and I forget what the counter pressure was. I mean, and there was another Gemara sort of against it, indicating that, no, you got to take care of it right away because you don't know how long you're actually going to be alive for. So you got to... There are Rios and Makoros on each side of that equation. As far as to how long one's going to be alive for, assuming the same thing here as well. I don't really know what the yesod to distinguish it would be, though. Okay, so then we move on to Sif Beis here. So Sif Beis is a little bit longer in the Shulchan Aruch itself, but here in the Torah. But let's see in the Shulchan Aruch itself. The Shulchan Aruch says, "Afilu kashiyipol bo mum begiloy v'nikir l'chol." Let's say a mum comes out in the open, and it's clear to everybody, meaning. We have two problems. One is this animal needs to get a mum in order for it to be allowed to be eaten. And then you have the question of, what's a mum, right? you can maybe imagine what a mum would be, but it's, how do you know? So Shulchan Aruch says, even if something looks like a mum, v'nikr l'chol, like it's clear to everybody. Kigon, for example, nikta yado o raglo v'chiyotzi bo. It has a broken hand it lost an arm, lost a leg, right, or something like that. Still, says the Shulchan Aruch, Einu Rishai L'Shachto Ela Al Pi Mumcha Shiyora Lo Shehum Mum. It's not enough for you to just go ahead and shecht it. You actually have to go to a mumcha, and he has to tell you that, yeah, you're right. It looks like a mum, right? You can't just paskin it on your own. You can't just write your own prescriptions. You have to actually have the expert go and analyze it and say, yeah, Taka, that is the din. Now, this isn't the only case where this is. This sounds a lot like another situation where you can look at something. It might be clear to everybody, but it's not even considered to be existent until you go to somebody and he paskins that is what exists, and that is a
Tsaras,
right? It sounds very similar to Tsaras, right? Tsaras is not considered Tsaras until you actually go to a Kohen, and the Kohen says, yeah, Taka, you got a problem, right? You got this Tsaras thing. So, V'im ein chacham, now what if there's no expert? Nitar al pi gimel. So then, you can go to three B'nai HaKnesses. I'm not sure what the status is exactly that the Shulchan Aruch is describing here, but like three people, it sounds like, who know how to learn. Dahainu chachamim ktsas. They're like somewhat tamidi chachamim. Ve'inam bekin kolkach. They're not such great experts, though. Ve'idna, and nowadays, the lake of mumchin, right, and nowadays, are ne mumchin. So what do we have? So inu nishchar al pi gimel b'nei hachneses, ela b'mumin mufhakim. So nowadays, we don't shecht according to these three B'nai HaKnesses unless it is clear that it is a mum. For example, kagon, nas mis'eino v'nikta yado v'chiyotzi behem. I'm not sure nas mis'eino, it's gotten blind in an eye, or it's got a major problem with it. Or nikta yado, again, it lost its hand, or something like that. V'tsrimas ha'ozen hu mum mufak. He says, oh, and by the way, tsrimas ha'ozen. I didn't get a chance to look up what that was. Sounds like, you know, like a split ear or something. That's also a mum mufak. Hecha de minkar shapir, because it's clearly recognizable. V'nira le'inayim, shehu yoser mechagiris hatziporin v'chiyotza. And everybody could see that it's larger than a fingernail. V'ketzad tsurimas ha'ozen shenifkama b'chisaron min hatanuch. V'lo ha'or shebeshefa. I'm not sure what he's referring to here. Ha'ozen bein shenifka b'dei Adam, bein shenifka b'dei Shemayim. And it doesn't matter whether it happened because a person did or b'dei Shemayim, right? Anybody could go ahead and see it. So it needs to be not just any mum, right? The Parsha does describe mumim for animals, but it needs to be clear, and it sounds like it needs to be clear and recognizable to everyone else. Meaning, those are the two things that we're looking for. So it needs a serious mum. So that all of a sudden becomes even a bigger challenge in how this animal is going to. Right, it's one thing that it gets some kind of wart or something. That's probably not good enough. It needs to actually, you know, like lose a leg or something along those lines. Not simple to do. One thing I was thinking about today is it permitted perhaps to poison the animal? Meaning to leave something out there in order to get it, to move things along somewhat. Don't know. Or have it take, I'm not sure, but we actually have the other direction. We'll get to that in a second. So then continues on the Ramah, and the Ramah says, by the way, Nechta chasnav l'malam min ha'chulia, havi mum. He says, by the way, if the tail is above the chulia is the spine, right? So if somehow the tail is like misplaced, va'od mana bal hatur kama mumin. And truth is the tour, and you can look at the tour is much longer. The tour actually goes through all these mumin, right? And he says that those are all enough. But comes the, and but the mechaberav shechiber sefer hazeh, but the mechaber who wrote this sefer, meaning Rav Yosef Karo, when he composed the Shulchan Aruch, nimshach achar divrei Rambam. He followed the Rambam, and the Rambam left a lot of these things out. V'li nira, but I think, the somech al divrei atur, habinuyin al das harash, lo hifsid. He says, but I think you can actually look up the Tur. The Tur has a couple of more, a bunch more mumin here, and you have the right to rely on that. So, I'm not going to go through all these little things, all those things in the Tur, but if you have a Bechoros Shaila showing up, realize it's not necessarily as machmir as it appears from the Shulchan Aruch itself. Now, one thing I caught that was interesting along these lines is, and one of the rules is that it has to be what we call a mum kavua, not just a mum over. And that's part of what the guy is judging. Right? It has to be a permanent mum, not something that might dissipate after a while. So that's why it's talking about a broken leg, like where the leg fell off, as opposed to like some kind of skin ailment where potentially the skin could grow back and it could become nicer. So in the in this fancy schmancy Shulchan Aruch that Uri Greenspan for some reason got on behalf of all the shuls, and I've sort of kidnapped it for the time being while we're learning through these sugyas, so it has the following thing. So I put this on the source sheet on page 5 or 6 or something like that. So the bottom left, or actually it's just the bottom, I just put in that column, it talks about imum sha'over al yidei refua. Meaning, what is the din? You have this animal that has a mum, and it, in theory, qualifies as a mum kavua. It is a permanent mum. However, it left to its own devices, it's a permanent mum. But you could give it medicine, right? You could give it, I don't know, it has some major zit, and you could give it Accutane, and it will get healed, and will no longer have the zit. But left to on its own, it is considered to be mum kavua, right? So it's a permanent mum, but there is medicine to overcome it. That is the question here. So he says here, mum she'eno misrape me'elav, aval al yidei refua chitzonis hu misrape. He says the animal is not going to heal on its own, but with medical intervention, it could be healed. So there you have a machlokas between two answers in Tosfos, ha'im hu kamum over or kamum kavua. So that's a machlokas in Tosfos, whether it's a mum over or a mum kavua, the chasav ha'marit al-gazi. So who's the Ma'arit al-gazi? So if you look in the back of a... In the back of a Maseches Bechoros, so there is a Kitzur Hilchos Bechoros from the Ramban, and there is very large amount of commentary in very, very small print from somebody called the Ma'arit al-Gazi. Where is it here? Just to show you, so if you go to the back of a Maseches, right? So here, right? So if you can see, right? You see the Ramban in the middle, and Ma'arit al-Gazi is lining both sides. Right? Very, very little print. There is a much newer edition that has come out recent years, but the Ma'arit al-Gazi is known as like the famous Lumdisha Sefer on Maseches Bechoros. As I remember, Rav Schechter once commented in Shir when quoting it, he said many people learn Gemara Bechoros because they want to learn the Ma'arit al-Gazi, right, as opposed to the other way around. So Ma'arit al-Gazi has everything to say about Bechoros. So he says Shemidivri Atosus Makom Echad Nirish Shesvaro LeIkar Shehu Kamum Over. He says it appears to me that based on Tosus in a different place, it sounds like that it is a mum over. But in the Piskei Tosfos, Pasuk Shehu Kamum Kavua. So he also goes back and forth about whether it is a about whether it is or whether it isn't. He says that ends up being a machlokas we showed him as to if it could be healed by a doctor. Is that considered to be a mum kavua or not? I'm not sure if there are any medical nafkaminas to that, but he does continue on and say something very interesting. He says, and what about if you did go ahead and heal it? Right, so you had this animal. It has a what is judged to be a mum kavua, but it went for a laser surgery, or went for plastic surgery, and it got healed. So now it's good. Now it's as good as new. So is that animal considered to have a mum or not considered to have a mum? Right, is that right? So it's now healed. It looks totally fine. Is that considered to be a mummed animal or not? So the Ma'arit al-Gazi says, well, if that's the case, everybody would agree, right? That everybody would agree it's considered to be that was healed. It is like a mum kavua, but after the mum is gone, hu chozer l'kedusha, so it goes back to having its original kedusha. And it's considered a tam, like it is ready to be brought. However, the Chazanish says, no, he says, it's not true. B'chor sh'nafal b'mum kavua ha'reyu k'kachim sh'niftu. He says, once it gets a mum, it got a mum. There's nothing to do about it. And even though all the plastic surgery in the world is not going to bring it back to its status of Kedusha. She'ein mo'al mashin yisra'a p'la'achar mikan. V'ra'o b'nidino zeb mishnas Rabbi Aaron. Take a look. The mishnas Rabbi Aaron. Mishnas Rabbi Aaron is from Rav Aaron Cutler, who apparently has what to say about this. But that is just an interesting yesod that is out there. Not sure what to, what applications there are of Bizman Hazeh with that, but I thought that was an interesting thing. Let's show one more, at least get started on the next thing, coming attractions, and that is if we go to Simon Shin Yud Beis. I skipped Shin Yud, is the Din B'chor Shin Nishchat Shalom Pi Chacham, if you shechted it without asking a Chacham first. Shin Yud Aleph is are we concerned about somebody selling bechoras or not? So we'll leave that. Maybe that has what to do with hashkacha. We'll talk about that and we'll see. But in Simin Shin Yud Beis, it has the following din. There's a whole parak of Mishayas for Aryeh Wood's Yurtzeit Bechoros tonight. So I agreed to learn Maseches Bechoros in the Mishayas. Not Yurtzeit, the Shalushim was tonight. So if you had Mishayas to learn, the deadline was tonight. So I did Bechoros. So there is a whole parak in a row there with the following halachos. Hanotel schar lios roa bechoros. What about if you get paid to paskin these bechoros shilas? So do we have to be concerned? Is that allowed, right? Ein shochten al piv. So anybody who gets paid to paskin these bechoros shilas, you're not allowed to shecht it based on his word. Elim kein, unless haya mumcha gadol v'yedu bo chachamim she'ein kamosa. Right? Unless he really is a big mumcha, and all the chachamim know that there's nobody like him. Upaskulo schar al hariya vahabikur vitzar shiitu lo scharo bein yehamum kavua viatirenu beinim lo yeh kavua. He says, oh, and by the way, you should have to pay him whether he paskins leheter or lahachmir, meaning he gets a flat fee no matter what he paskins. Velo yidno schar al behema el pamachas. Also, you should only pay him for one time. And then he should continue in seeing it. Meaning the concern is that he's going to paskin it l'chumra, because this way he gets you to come again, right? It's like the mezuzah guy paskining l'chumra, because he knows he'll be able to sell you more mezuzahs that way, right? So the same thing here. He'll know he'll be able to get more visits. So do we have to be concerned? How concerned do we have to be? Do we have to be about that? So the truth is, the background to this is a little bit hard to understand, because the tour, when he quotes the halacha, he gives a different idea. The Gemara itself, the Gemara says, what is the issue here that we're talking about? And that is that one is not supposed to charge for Torah. Why? Because the Gemara says, just as Moshe Rabbeinu gave away Torah for free, so we should learn from Moshe Rabbeinu, and we should give away our Torah for free as well. We shouldn't charge specifically for Divrei Torah, and it seems like extended to, we shouldn't be charging specifically for any of these types of avodos. So how is that practically account, which is different than what we're here? I mean, here the concern is that you're paying him, that's going to somehow. That's going to somehow mean that he's biased, right? That seems to be against the Gemara. So how the Shulchan Aruch come to this idea, and how do we figure out ways around him being biased, and do we really have to be concerned about that, and how do we ever paskin, how does a rabbi ever paskin a shayla bizman hazeh, right? So if it's one of his members who you know might not like the answer he's being given, right? So all of these are good concerns. Rabbi Berkowitz, Rabbi Eliezer Berkowitz, the Rosh Yeshiva Isha Torah, so he has a story that somebody came to him after making a lot of money, and he was a very wealthy guy and a successful business, and he went to his rabbi and said, you know, I think I'm going to just close up shop, and I've made enough money to make it through the rest of my life, and I'm going to close up shop and move to Eretz Yisrael and go learn in a kollel. To which the rabbi told him, no, you're not allowed to do that because you're supporting the whole community, and the community will die if you go on someplace else. So this person came to Rav Berkowitz and says, you know, what do I do with that? Like, am I allowed to quit? I want to quit. I want to learn. But the rabbi's telling me I have to keep making money in order to support the community. So Rav Berkowitz told him, he says, so it's a good shayla, we could talk about it, but one thing I could tell you for sure is that rabbi should not be paskining the shayla. that's a little bit too much of a conflict of interest. So how concerned does one have to be for conflict of interest in terms of psak? So Amir Sashem will pick up with that next week.
Oh. Gah.